Hello and welcome to Coffee with Mike, Mental Wellness and Belonging for Leaders. My name is Mike Vini and I am your host. I'm a certified corporate wellness specialist, CEO, and a coffee lover. And today is all about building psychological safety in the workplace. This is going to be a very important episode. It's about the leader's role in creating exclusive teams. This is important because you often hear about workplaces being toxic, and it's essential to create environments where team members feel valued and safe to express themselves. So we're going to be talking about things like what it means to have a toxic workplace, what psychological safety means, and steps you can take to improve psychological safety in your workplace. Business Solver's 2024 State of Workplace Empathy Study survey revealed that half of CEOs and one in three employees view their workplaces as toxic. And if you listen to this episode to the end, you are going to learn actions you can take in the next 24 hours to create a more psychologically safe workplace, and how one of these actions in particular is critical to anything else you do to create a psychologically safe work environment. Now, the name of the podcast is Coffee with Mike, and I am here drinking coffee, and I love coffee. If you ever want to get coffee, let me know. And the type of coffee I'm drinking is from Greenwood Lake Coffee Roasters in Greenwood Lake, New York, and it's the Greenwood Lake Sumatra and Columbia blend. This is my favorite coffee, and Greenwood Lake is in the Hudson Valley, and just really, really good coffee. So, let's talk about what a toxic workplace is. I mean, we hear people say, oh, this is a toxic environment, but what does it actually mean? It's an environment where dysfunction, disrespect, and poor communication are the norm, leading to chronic stress, low morale, and high turnover. Some signs of this include micromanagement or lack of trust, bullying, gossip, or passive-aggressive behavior, poor leadership or unclear expectations, lack of recognition and support, fear of speaking up, or retaliation. Now, this is just an overview of what it is, and it gets more specific than that if you look into it, but that's roughly what we mean. Or just think of it as a place where there's nothing but fear in the workplace. Fear everywhere, and it's a negative environment. That's a toxic workplace. Now, on the other hand, you have psychological safety, which is why we're here today. And it's the belief that you can speak up, take risks, ask questions, or admit mistakes without fear of punishment, embarrassment, or negative consequences to your self-image, status, or career. The concept was actually popularized by a Harvard professor named Amy Edmondson. That was her name. Especially in the context of high-performing teams. So when psychological safety is present, people feel safe, be themselves, and they are just contributing openly, leading to better collaboration, innovation, and learning. And many years ago, I learned about what it meant to not have psychological safety, be in a toxic environment. So my career started as a drummer, and I have to share this story and be as vague as possible, so I'm not naming specific names here. But all I will say is I was part of a music group, and I'm not going to say the name of it. And the leader of the group was a great leader. I mean, the group made some great music, but was really, really toxic and negative. And I would constantly get criticized for things that were just totally ridiculous, chewed out, and belittled, and not given a chance to shine. And it just felt like he was struggling with these power issues. And even now, talking about it, I could just feel it in my chest, this anxiety of not wanting to, you know, be in this environment. And I wish I would have had better memories. And I know for a fact that other members of this group struggled with the same thing as well. And, you know, it was really interesting that over time, the amount of band members dwindled, and basically it's non-existent at this point. And, you know, I'm not blaming this person solely, but, you know, it starts at the top. So that was a real lesson for me, and it made me conscientious. So now as a CEO, I would love to tell you that I run a psychologically safe company. No, I'm working towards it. And we're going to talk about that some more. Business Solver's 2024 State of Workplace Empathy Study surveyed more than 3,000 American workers, human resources leaders, and CEOs, and it found out 24% of the respondents were remote workers and were significantly less likely to view their company culture as toxic. So apparently, if you're working remotely, you don't see the company as toxic, probably because you don't have to deal with people. I mean, you do have to deal with people, but you can quickly get off the video meeting and go do your thing. Employees who say that their workplace is toxic are 47% more likely to cite mental health issues compared to those who do not cite a toxic workplace. For CEOs, this is even higher at 64%. So there's a relationship between the perception of workplace toxicity and the stigma associated with mental health issues. And according to the survey, this is a quote from the survey, there's about 90% agreement across employees, HR, and CEOs that it's important for senior leadership to openly discuss mental health issues to create a safe environment for other employees to follow suit. But beyond creating space to discuss mental health, there's a pressing need to address psychological safety and the diverse value of empathetic behaviors at work. Whew, that's a lot right there. So that is important to know. But there's another case here for psychological safety, and it's called the case for productivity. Like, great, employees say they want it, but what does it do for a company? What does it do for the bottom line? The American Psychological Association's 2024 Work in America survey, which talked about psychological safety in the changing workplace, found that workers who reported experiencing higher psychological safety at work were much more likely than those who experienced lower psychological safety to do the following: rate their performance as very good or outstanding. So those who thought it was a psychologically safe environment, 91% of them reported their work as very good or outstanding versus 69% in a workplace perceived as toxic. Their productivity is high as 74% in a psychologically safe environment versus 43%. And being proud of the work they do, 97% versus 87%. So this is important because it makes the case for why, as a leader, we need to focus on psychological safety. So now I want to give you some pointers to get started making your workplace or home or team or nonprofit organization more psychologically safe. These are important takeaways. And the first one is the most important. In fact, if you don't do this one, you're not going to create a psychologically safe environment. Number one is to model vulnerability and humility. This is how it all starts, and it's critical for any additional efforts that you make. And what does this mean? Admit when you made a mistake. Say, I made a mistake. Share lessons learned from your own failures, and let your team see that it's okay not to have all the answers. We come from school, which is a good place to go to when you're a kid. And in school, you know, we're rewarded for having the answer, being the know-it-all. As a leader, you start becoming the know-it-all, you're just going to annoy people and piss them off. So it's important to understand that when you're leading, your job is to serve and support and empower and be strategic and move a company vision forward. And that does not mean having all the answers. So it's really important to have that vulnerability and humility. This is something I have to do a lot. I make it a point to be loud about when I screwed up, to be intentional about saying I'm sorry, and to say I don't know and I don't need help. I need help. And it's important to do. I'm not perfect with it. It's something I'm constantly growing in, but it's important. Number two is to practice active listening. Don't interrupt. Listen to understand, not just to respond. This could be true for everybody, right? Acknowledge people's input with gratitude, even if you don't agree. Use reflective statements like, what I hear you saying is blank. Number three, invite participation. Ask for input from quieter voices in the room. I have someone on my team who does not speak up, and I think it's a cultural thing, and I ask this person constantly what their thoughts are on this because it's important that they're included. Rotate who speaks first to avoid groupthink. Sometimes the loudest one in the room is the one who just dominates the conversation. And use open-ended questions like, what's your take on this? Number four, celebrate candor. Publicly thank team members who bring up concerns or challenge ideas respectfully. Reinforce that disagreeing respectfully is part of growth and innovation. Encourage people to challenge you respectively. Number five, normalize feedback. Woo! And this goes both ways. Routinely ask your team for feedback on your leadership style. Use prompts like, what's one thing I could do differently to support you better? Now, I want to share a story about how I did this because this is one that just speaks to my heart here. One of our workplace mental health courses, Connectivity and Conversations, has an assessment or several assessments. And one of the assessments is to assess, you know, your leadership or ask people for your input on your leadership and get an assessment. And I decided before a team meeting with my team to do the assessment, thinking I, you know, maybe not be excellent, but I should be pretty good. I mean, we created this product, right? Well, I finished the assessment and was shocked to see the results that I was creating a toxic culture on my team. And I had to be on this meeting in a few minutes. And so I get on the meeting and, you know, they asked me for my update, and I decided at that point to not talk about KPIs or, you know, meeting benchmarks, but how I'm creating a toxic culture and what I learned from that. And I specifically said, you know, I micromanage. Sometimes I withhold information. Sometimes I'm not clear in my communication. And I can see them right now in my mind just nodding, going, yep, yep. But I think it was an important thing to do because it shows them that I'm human. It's okay to screw up and we don't have to be perfect. And I think it went a long way to improving trust. Again, we're not perfect, but it went a long way. Number six, set clear expectations. Clarify goals, roles, and responsibilities. When people know what's expected, they feel more secure taking initiative. And number seven, respond, don't react. Let me say that again. Respond, don't react. Pause before responding to difficult feedback or mistakes. Ask yourself, am I creating more safety or more fear right now? That's an important question to ask yourself. Am I creating more safety or fear right now? And Dave Ramsey, the financial guru, talks about leadership. He's got a whole section of his business. I think it's called Entree Leadership. And one of the things that he has said multiple times is that if you want to figure out what the problem in your company is or on your team, just go into the bathroom and look in the mirror. It's you. But he also says that if you want to find the solution for your company or on your team, go into the bathroom and look in the mirror. It's you. And that's really always stuck with me and really sums up what's important to do and why I took that assessment. So, all of this in mind, I want you to do something here. So I want you to ask yourself, what's one small step that you can take today to begin improving psychological safety? What's one small step? I invite you to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't. Please leave a review on whatever podcast listening platform you're listening to this on or watching it on video, and share it with someone who needs it. In the show notes, we'll have a link to Business Lovers 2024 State of the Workplace Empathy Study and the American Psychological Association's 2024 Work in America Survey, Psychological Safety in the Changing Workplace. And just remember, toxic workplace is an environment where dysfunction, disrespect, and poor communication are the norm, leading to chronic stress, low morale, and high turnover. Psychological safety, on the other hand, is the belief that you can speak up, take risks, ask questions, or admit mistakes without fear of punishment, embarrassment, or negative consequences to your self-image, status, or career. It starts with you modeling vulnerability and humility. Thank you so much for listening today. We've got a lot more coming your way in terms of episodes here for leaders, and I look forward to getting coffee again with you sometime. Thanks again for being here.